Okay, so if you remember in our last class, we were discussing the various ramazim, the various scriptural allusions, the psukim, which go ahead and somehow hint at Chodesh Elul. And we saw the beautiful approach of the Mata Ephraim, who explained that these are not just cute allusions, but rather, again, these different allusions really represent a roadmap to Chodesh Elul. Remember, again, the Mata Ephraim says, what's the greatest challenge when it comes to Chodesh Elul? Or one of the greatest challenges? I'm sorry? Focus. Where do I start? There's so many things I want to do, so many things I need to do, so many different aspects of life that I'd like to try to address. So where do I start? And as we spoke about, the great challenge is a lot of times when people feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start, what happens all too often? They just don't start. They just stop. And again, it happens to all of us in different stages. Well, I don't know if it happens to all of us. It happens to many of us in different stages in life, in different situations. When you feel overwhelmed, so sometimes people just shut down. And sometimes one of the greatest tragedies of the Yomim Noraim is that people feel so overwhelmed, understandably so. And so sometimes that feeling of being overwhelmed results in a person just shutting down. Comes the Mata Ephraim and says, the four different allusions of Chodesh Elul really represents four different starting points for us in our Avoda of Elul, in our Avoda of Yomim Noraim. So last time we focused on Anila Dodi V'Dodili. So remember again, just a quick review. What was the message of Anila Dodi V'Dodili? Anyone remember? Two-way street, right? Remember, throughout the year, normally, again, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is characterized as how? Dodili va'anilo, which means what? Meaning that often, throughout the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages us. Elul is about proactive divine engagement. In Chodesh Elul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I love you. I put a lot into this relationship. I'm asking you to show me that you're still into this. I'm asking you to show me that you're still engaged. Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li is proactive divine engagement. I am reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chodesh Elul is when we take the first step in our relationship with Hashem. And so, therefore, in this first approach, the fundamental question we ask ourselves is, what are we doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So often we are focused on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, which is normal, because we can't exist without Him. Because we can't exist without Him, of course we're focused on what He does for us. There's a different kind of question this month, which is, what do we do for Him? What do we do for Him? And you know, it's not just what we do, but it's also what? How we do it. This is incredibly important, because you know, there could be many things that I do. What do I do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I do a lot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I daven every day. I make brachas. I do mitzvos. That's beautiful. But just as important as what you do is how you do it. Because a person could daven multiple times throughout the day, but if those tefillos are lifeless, if those tefillos are kavanahless, if those tefillos really lack any kind of hergish, I could say as many brachas as I want, but if it's kizorek bracha mipiv, I'm just kind of blurring it out, I'm spitting it out, but there's no deeper meaning to it. I do mitzvos, but I go through the motions. I do it, it's behavioral, I'm conditioned to behave this way, to act this way. I don't remember if it was Rabbi Friend or Rabbi Pesach Kron, one of them once mentioned such an incredible idea, I just don't remember who, that when he was in Avel, right? You know, the halacha is, and an interesting halacha in Avelos, which is that in the period between death and burial, so a person's not an Avel, they're not a mourner, but that particular stage in mourning is actually called Aninos, an Onin. And during Aninos, a person is exempt from all positive mitzvos. That's the halacha. You don't make brachas, you don't daven. There's different svaras, different logics as to why. On the most basic level, it's a function of osik b'mitzvah patra min ha-mitzvah. Since the mourner is involved with taking care of the needs of the deceased, therefore, by definition, they're exempted from other mitzvos. So whoever it was saying over the shir said, mentioned that when he was in Aninos, he found himself constantly saying brachas. You know, I just didn't think about it, I was just saying brachas. So he said, you know, at first he was very proud of himself. Look, I'm saying brachas. It's so fantastic. And then he realized, well, what's happening over here? The truth is, I just say things. I say brachas, and I don't necessarily go ahead and give all that much attention to it. On one hand, it's beautiful that it's reflexive. That's beautiful. That's an accomplishment. On the other hand, when some things are reflexive, it means they can be done without thought. So Chodesh Elul is a time where, you know, I'll give you an example. Do you ever get a present from someone and they just gave it to you like without any emotion? This is like a good, sometimes a person gives a gift. Here you go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Or, you know, just, you know, here you go. And imagine somebody gives you a gift, a beautiful gift, an exquisite piece of jewelry or whatever you like. And what happens? They just like throw it to you or they leave it on the table. Here, I left it on the table for you. Have a great day. Happy birthday. Right? How does a gift like that make you feel? I guess it depends how nice the gift is. But for most of us, especially as we mature, the truth is the object that you receive is always very nice. But what makes a gift, is the feeling and the emotions that accompany it. So it's the same thing in our Avodas Hashem. The truth is, we're good Jews. We do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. We do the mitzvahs. We fulfill our obligations. The great challenge in our Yiddishkeit is not often, it's not that I'm not doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm doing it. But often it's that I'm doing it without feeling. And I'm doing it without emotion. And I'm doing it without any kind of lave, any kind of heart, any kind of hergish. And so comes Chodesh Elul. And it's anila dodiva dodili. It's not just about what I'm doing, but it's also an opportunity to look at how I'm doing it. People often think that growth in Yiddishkeit means taking on more things. Sometimes in life, before you take on more things, it's better to focus your energies on doing the things that you're already doing, but doing them better. We do a lot of stuff. Probably, if you were to sit down with a piece of paper and write down all the things you do with for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I bet you would surprise yourself about how long and exhaustive that list is. Because we do a lot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us so much more. There's no question about that. But we do so much. But the question is how we're doing it. Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li forces us to examine not just what I'm doing, but how I'm doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I'm doing the behaviors, but the behaviors lack emotion, the behaviors lack heart, here's the month where there's an opportunity to say, you know what? Maybe I'm not taking on anything more. I'm going to keep doing the same stuff, but I'm just going to do it a little bit better. I'm going to do it with a little bit more heart, with a little bit more soul, with a little bit more energy, with a little bit more emotion. That brings us then to the second part. Umal Hashem eslavavcha veslavav zarecha liyahavas Hashem elokecha b'chalavavcha b'chal nafshcha l'man chayecha. The second remez. Excuse me. The second remez to Chodesh Elul, which is a beautiful pasuk that we saw, like the pasuk that we read in Chumash Devarim, Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav. So literally translated, and Hashem, Umal Hashem elokecha zavavcha, Hashem will circumcise your heart, the heart of your offspring, to love Hashem, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, for all of your life. So you can see again, I underlined letters over here, Es Levavcha, the Es Levav Zarecha. Your heart and the heart of your offspring, Rashi Tevos, or first, right, Rashi Tevos, O Elul. So what's the message over here? So let's analyze this a little bit. So look at number 9, the Eben Ezra. Umal Hashem Elokecha, Va'achar she'amar tashuv lishmoa b'kolo hu ya'azrecha v'yamu levavcha v'es ulevav zarecha lo kemilas habasar shata chayiv lamo oso. So the Eben Ezra makes an amazing observation. To appreciate the Eben Ezra, take a look at number 11 for just a moment. So number 11 gives you the entire context of this pasuk. So remember, the context over here is the base, you know. You could sum up all of Jewish history, right, within a couple of sentences, right? How do you encapsulate the entirety of Jewish history? It's a cycle. What's the cycle? Usually it goes something like this. And again, this is like if you learn Nevi'im, right? If you learn Navi, this is the entire story of Navi. We follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We stop following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something tragic, traumatic occurs. We recognize the error of our ways. We do tshuva. We come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us back. Things are good. Things are good for a while. Repeat. We stray. We make mistakes. We leave. We're punished. We do tshuva. We come back. Things are good. That's the cycle of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's been that way for thousands of years. It's part of human nature. So this is what number 11 describes. Look at number 11. Vayaki avo alecha kal vrama ilo abracha vaklala. Hashem asati lefanecha. Vashivos alevecha b'chal gimash adecha. So what happens? Klal Yisrael is going to sin. As a result, there's exile. Klal Yisrael is going to realize what they did. Vishavta ad Hashem alokecha. You will return tshuva. Vishamata v'kolo. You'll listen to his voice. Kichol asher nochim yisavecha ayom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back. That's number 11, Pasuk Gimel. V'sham Hashem Elokecha Shavuscha V'richamecha V'sham V'kibetzcha Mikala Amim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ingather you. You'll be dispersed amongst all the nations of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back. Pasuk Hey. V'yaviyacha Hashem Elokecha La'aretz Asher Yashav Asecha V'yirishta V'hitivcha V'hirbecha V'havosecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael, and life will be great. How does the section end? Number 11, Pasuk Vav. Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha, ve'es levav zarecha, li'ahava es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, o b'chol nafshecha l'man chayecha. Good. So now you understand the context, right? The context is just the cyclical nature of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the cyclical nature of Am Yisrael's existential existence. So now that you understand the context, go back to number 9 for just a moment. The Ibn Ezra picks up on the phrase, Umal Hashem Elokechas Levavcha. Hashem will circumcise your heart. What's interesting about this? What's interesting about this phrase?
How do you do that?
I'm sorry?
How do you mean?
What does it mean? Good. Let me ask you this question. Let me fine-tune it a little bit. We're going to see what it means in just a moment. Who's doing the action over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Isn't this interesting? The Ibn Ezra writes, isn't it fascinating? Remember again, the metaphor of the bris milah is the bris, right? Circumcision represents taking away something extra. There's some obstruction on top of my heart. So I would have expected the pasuk to say, who has to circumcise the heart? Who has to do the milah of the heart? Who has to remove the obstruction? Me. Right? It's my job. It's my job. If I develop the arla on top of my heart, if I develop the obstruction, the obstacle, the extra layer on my heart, it's my job to remove it. Yet the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says, "Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha." Who does the milo? Who's the mole over here? Who removes the obstruction, the extra layer? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Ibn Ezra. Now take a look at number 9. Says the Ibn Ezra, after the earlier Pesukim indicated that Klal Yisrael does tshuva and ultimately returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to his voice, Hu Ya'azrecha V'yomol Levavcha U'Levav Zarecha. What does it mean, Hu Ya'azrecha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. So writes the Ibn Ezra something amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you and he will circumcise your heart. Lo kemilas habasar sha'atachayev lamol also. What does that mean? Lo kemilas habasar sha'atachayev lamol also. It's not like a regular bris milah. Interestingly enough, who does the mitzvah bris milah devolve upon? Who has the obligation of bris milah? So interestingly enough, it's the father. What happens if a child never had a bris milah? Right, there wasn't a father. Who does the obligation rest upon? The son, right? The young man after he comes of age. Ultimately, again, after he becomes bar mitzvah, if he's uncircumcised, that obligation rests on him. Says the Ibn Ezra, the milah of the heart is unlike the milah of the body. The milah of the body is incumbent upon the individual, whether the individual is the father when it's a baby, or the young man when he reaches the age of adulthood. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the milah of the heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll take care of it for you. I will circumcise your heart. You go ahead and you take the first steps, because remember, again, that's why I gave to you all of number 11. Remember, it's not the pshat that I'm sitting on the couch doing nothing and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the milah of my heart. What it means is I take some first steps. Remember again, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Look at number 11, Pasuk Beis. What does the Pasuk say? You're going to suffer, you're going to be exiled, there's going to be a variety of difficulties, and V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata v'kolo. You will do your part. You will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will listen to his voice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, You do your part. You do your part. And then what? And then what? I'll do mine. I'll do mine. You do your part and I'll do mine. So look at the Ramban at number 11. Umal Hashem Elkechas, excuse me, number 10. Umal Hashem Elkechas Levavcha, the Ramban says, Zeh Sha'amru, Haba L'Taher Misayin Oso. What does that mean? Haba L'Taher Misayin Oso? If you come with pure intentions, and maybe intentions aren't enough, right? Remember, I'm doing something, because in this pasuk, remember, I'm doing something. V'shafta Ad Hashem Elkecha, Umal Hashem Eslevavcha V'eslevav Zarecha. Ultimately, again, if you take the first step, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you along the rest of the way. Mafticha shatashuv elav b'chalavavcha v'hu ya'azor oscha. So this is absolutely incredible. So in the midst of this pasuk, Umal Hashem Elokecha, eslavavcha ve'eslavav zarecha. Hashem will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring to love Hashem with all of your heart, with all of your soul, for all of your life. What's the message? The message is, you don't have to complete the task alone. Lo alecha hamalacha ligmar. I am not obligated to see the task till the end. Why am I not obligated to see the task till the end? Why? Because I can't, right? Because at the end of the day, one of the most humbling realities that we face is that we don't control the future. Right? The only thing I control is the moment in front of me right now. I control nothing beyond the present. I can make plans, I can have aspirations, dreams, set goals, but I control nothing but the moment in front of me now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't ask you to finish the task. The only thing I can ask of you is what? To start it. Start it. Start it. And that's what the Pesukim are saying. V'shafta Ad Hashem Elokecha. You begin the journey back. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you start it, I will help you finish it. You start it, and I will help you finish it. And you begin to see two dramatic sides of the same coin. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li teaches me what? One more time. What does it teach me? Right? Two issues, but more. What's the specific yisod? What's the avod of Chodesh Elul? Remember this phrase. Proactive divine engagement. That's the phrase you have to remember. Proactive divine engagement. The goal, ultimately, the avod of Chodesh Elul is, I have to be proactive. I have to engage God. Now, one would think that based on Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, that there is an obligation, a proactive divine engagement, that I have to engage God, that the responsibility or the totality of tshuva rests upon my shoulders. That I am obligated to engage, I am obligated to rehabilitate, I am obligated to change, I am obligated to experience a spiritual metamorphosis all on my own. 11 months out of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages me. Dodi, Liva, Ani, Lo. Chodesh Elul, it's up to me. Comes along the next pasuk and says, don't worry. It's not all on you. Ani Lo Dodi, V'Dodi Li means exactly that. Proactive divine engagement. What does engagement mean? What does engagement mean? To begin the process. To engage. My obligation is to begin, but I do not have the obligation to finish it up. Now, I want to be clear on this. It's not the pshat that I don't have the engagement. Of course, excuse me, I don't have the obligation to finish it. We have an obligation to try to finish anything we start. This is an incredibly important yisod in life. Because a lot of times in life, we begin processes and we start them, but often again, they kind of fall by the wayside. I have an obligation to do anything and everything in my power to try to finish the spiritual endeavors that I start. Just the reality of life is often that I can't. I don't control all the moving pieces. And so Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li means the obligation is upon me to start. Proactive divine engagement. Umal Hashem Elokecha Eslavavcha Ve'eslavav Zarecha means Habolitar Mesayin Oso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mal your heart. You start, and the moment you start, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and take your hands. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, it's almost like the opposite. You ever see, like, when a little baby begins to walk? So what happens when a little baby begins to walk? What happens? Right, what do the parents do when the baby is starting to walk?
They first
You hold the baby's hand, right? The first thing is, right, if the parent says, "Nu, come on. Come on, let's go already. What's happening over here? Chick chock, we got places to go. Get up, start walking." It doesn't work that way. You have to start by holding the baby's hand. But then what happens? What happens? Then you let go. At a certain point in time, you have to let go. Because if the baby doesn't learn to walk without holding on to the parent's fingers, there's nothing doing over here. It's almost as if it's the exact reverse dynamic with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us, take a step. I'm not going to hold your hand. Right? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always holding our hand. But he tells us, I'm not going to hold your hand. You take a step. But here's the amazing part. The moment I take the step, then what occurs? What occurs? He takes my hands and leads me forward. So it's almost like the reverse. The way we raise our children is the... We start out with giving our children hands and then take them away. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I need you to take the first step and then I'll give you my hands. But just do something. Do something. Take achrayas. Take ownership. This, and that's ultimately what the message is over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take achrayas over our lives. All too often in life, when things don't work out the way we want them to work out, what's the reflexive reaction of most people? Blame. Blame. I'm going to assign blame. This didn't work out. Why? You could fill in the blank. My mother didn't spend enough time with me. My father never played catch with me. My first grade teacher wasn't nice enough to me. Whatever you want to fill in the blank, we have a whole litany of reasons why people in our lives did not do what they should have done to get us to our particular destination. At the end of the day, the buck of your life stops with you. What you do and what you don't become is up to you and you alone. There's no question that the people in our lives, parents, loved ones, spouses, all play a role in our, I call it in the atmosphere around us, right? In the, atmosphere is the wrong word, in the circumstances around us. But at the end of the day, you have full responsibility for your life. You have full, if you fail, own it. If you succeed, own it. Whatever you do or you don't do, it's biyadcha, biyadech, it's up to you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be a ba'alas achrayus. Take responsibility for your life. That's anila dodi v'dodi li. Proactive divine engagement. Own it. Own it. You want the relationship? Make it happen. You want ruchnius? Make it happen. You want bracha? Make it happen. But lest you think that means that you're on your own. Es levav Hashem Elokecha, es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. I'm here. Of course I'm here. I love you. And of course I'm going to take your hands. But I just need you to take that first step. Two sides of the same coin. Anila dodiva dodili, proactive divine engagement. You have to begin by taking a step by yourself. But lest you think that the whole journey is by yourself. Umala shemakecha zvalcha veslav zarecha. Habalitar mesayin oso. You take the first step. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I will take your hands afterwards. Next. Third allusion, v'asher lo tzada, v'elokim ina liado, v'samti l'cha makom asher yanos tzadah. Remember again, this third allusion is a reference to what? Reference to? Eir Miklat, excellent, city of refuge. Right, so the Pasuk literally translated means, asher lo tzada, tzada means what? Hunt. But in this context, what does it mean? One who did not engage in a premeditated act of bloodshed. That's tzada. V'asher lo tzada, someone who did not engage in a premeditated act. V'alokim ina liado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved his hands, right? Literally guided his hands. As a result, he kills someone else. V'samti l'cha makom ashein yanos shama. I will give you a place that ultimately, again, you will go ahead and be able to flee to. So you see over here in the underlines, ina liado, v'samti l'cha, Rashi Tevas Elul. I guide your hand and I will give for you a place, spells out the word Elul. What's the message here? So say something interesting. Let's take a step back. Right in Halacha, we kind of have three different categories. Right? Three different categories, or I should say, yeah, three different categories of actions. Right? All actions fall into one of three categories, which are number one, ones, which means what?
Completely by accident.
Let's even not use the word accident, right? How else would you define ones? What? out of your control. We'll use the phrase extenuating circumstances. I can't control it. Nothing I could have done could have possibly changed these circumstances, extenuating totally beyond my control. Good, that's category one. Category two? Shogeg. What does shogeg refer to? Good, hold on to that. Hold on to that for just a moment. Better, simpler word for shogeg?
Accident.
Accident. Good, we're going to get back to languages in just a moment. And number three? Mazed, which means? Intentional. Right, so we have ones, extenuating circumstances beyond my control, shogeg, accidental, and mazed, intentional. So now we know that in halacha, one is held, what's the status if you commit an act ba'ones? Person commits an ones act, what's the halacha? Pater. Right? One is exempt. A person goes ahead and a person, give you just a person is obeying the traffic laws, they're driving beyond this, right, exactly the speed limit, and chas v'shalom, someone runs out right in front of them. Again, I'm going to go. What's, that's called an onus. I couldn't have done anything to chas v'shalom avoid that. That's onus. Aloch is your putter. What's the paradigmatic case of shogeg? Good. So remember, what's the example? You must have learned this in the course of your years of study. The paradigmatic example of shogeg?
Chopping trees.
Chopping trees. Excellent. So what happens? You go into the forest, right? The Torah says you go into the forest to chop trees, and what happens? Right. It's machlokas in the Gemara. What exactly happened? Either, again, the head of the axe falls off and kills someone, or a splinter of wood, as I'm chopping, flies off and kills someone. So what's the halacha in such a case like that? What's the halacha? Ear miklot. Why? Why? I'm sorry? Why am I liable for that? It's an accident. You said it before. Why am I liable for that? Because I could have been more careful. Di'iboy le'iyune is a phrase of the Gemara. You should have been more careful. There's a concept, and this, by the way, is a dramatic concept in halacha. It's an accident. Chas v'shalom, I'm a peaceful guy. I would never kill anyone. I would never hurt anyone. I would never intentionally damage anyone. This was a tragic accident. The axe head fell off the handle. The piece of wood splintered from the tree that I was chopping, and Nebuch went and killed someone. So the Gemara says, "Di'iboy le'iyune." Should be more careful. Should have been more vigilant. Should have looked around to see if anyone else was around. Should have made sure that the axe head was fastened to the handle. You are responsible. You are responsible. Again, not chas v'shalom as if you did it intentionally, right? That's a different kind of category. But ultimately, again, di'iboy le'iyune. You should have been more careful. This yields a very important halachic statement. What's the important halachic statement that this yields? Three words that forever change the course of halacha and forever change the course of every person's life. Adam muad li'olam. Have you heard that phrase? Adam muad li'olam, which means a person is always forewarned. A person is always forewarned, which means that you are responsible for all of your actions. Responsible. You did it intentionally, you did it unintentionally. It makes a difference, but ultimately at the end of the day, even for accidents, I am chayiv. Again, ones is a separate type of category, but adam worldly ola means I am always responsible. That is why, even in this case where Reuven kills Shimon accidentally, it was mamish, they were best of friends. Total accident. Nevertheless, Reuven is going to be liable. Goes to your miklat. And by the way, going to your miklat, she've learned about this, like, okay, it's certainly much better than being executed, but at the end of the day, it's a pretty significant punishment, right? You have to leave your home, which means probably you have to leave your job, you have to leave your career, you go to a foreign city, your family comes with you. It's not simple. It's not simple. What's the pshat? So take a look at number 12. So remember again, the Chumash says, why is there liability for someone who kills b'shogeg? Lanus shama rotzeach, asher yirtzach esreihu bivli das. Bivli das means what? So in this context, it literally means what? without intention, right? So the Torah is coming to say that this is not a situation, chas v'shalom, where someone killed someone else intentionally. I think Reuven did not kill Shimon intentionally. Bivli does, but Bivli does also means something on a deeper level, which is what?
Without thinking.
Reuven, right? Reuven will call, Reuven is the tree chopper. Reuven, do you know why you're in this mess? Because you lived life Bivli das. Because you were not attentive enough to your circumstances. You were not attentive enough to life. You were not attentive to your surroundings. You were not attentive to the axe head. You were not attentive to the splinter coming off the tree. So Bivli das, again, in a legal sense, Bivli das means without intent. This was not chas v'shalom a premeditated act of murder. That it wasn't. There was no intention. But on a deeper level, almost like we're going to like on a hashkafic level, what's happening over here is I did something without thinking. I did something without paying. I did something because I didn't pay attention. Because I simply was not attentive to life. Take a look at number 13. This is from Rav Eliezer Kashtiel. Rav Eliezer Kashtiel is a Rosh Yeshiva of a Hezder Yeshiva in the city of Eli. An incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham. See, happens, he put out a couple of Sfarim on the Parsha. So here is something he put out about this that I want to share with you that I think is just absolutely amazing. Look, I'm sorry, the number A got cut off. The letter A got cut off. But it's on the right-hand side, paragraph number 13. Hagolus mofia gam behemshech ha-parsha shalanu kasharotzeach bishkal golir miklat. Okay, Shef Kashtiel writes, remember again, the person who killed accidentally goes to the Miklat. Kasher Torah mita'eres es harotzeach bishkaga, he mita'eres matzov shel bivli das. How does the Torah describe the accidental killer? Two words, bivli das. Bivli das, that's who this person is. He is a person who does things, bivli das, without intentionality, without thought, without premeditation. Matzav shel choser das. Choser teshuma slav. Rav Kashtiel says, you know what the problem over here is? Let me ask you this question. Do you think that this guy, we'll call him Reuven, was this just a moment of Bivli das? Is this a moment of Bivli das? It's hard. It's an open-ended question. But Rav Kashtiel posits, presumably, a guy like this who gets himself into a situation like this, his problem is not just that he had a moment of Bivli Das. His problem is he's living a lifestyle of Bivli Das. There's a lack of attentiveness, a lack of awareness, a lack of choser das. Hagolus hi amitakenes. Hamishana es hamatzav shel choser das. Rega shel choser das. Zu bidiyuk habaya. To live life with even a moment of Bivli Das, even a moment where you lack awareness. This in and of itself is part of the fundamental problem. Let's read a few more lines. He says, Hagolus ha-tiltolo shava adam ha-nekar mimkoma tivi, mizrimas chayiv harigilo, mishagra mishkara shuragilo, pit om ma'oreres osolamach shava. Now here's what's amazing. You know, when you go ahead and you see, a lot of times in life, so you see it differently. How many of you are consciously aware of where your hands are positioned on the steering wheel when you drive? Mamish, incredible. I'm assuming one hand went up, the rest of you are not. Fair assumption. Right. How many of you are consciously aware of the position of your hands when you started driving? Okay. So you see why, what's the distinction? Why is it, I don't know, what is it today? 9 and 3, they tell you, or 10 and 2? Whatever, okay, good. Hey, so what happens? When you start something, you're often very aware. As time goes on, so the truth is, it becomes regulus, it becomes regular, it becomes habitual, so you don't think about it. So what's amazing is as follows. If anyone's ever had chas v'shalom a car accident, so it's amazing, what happens in the aftermath of a car accident? How attentive are you to every detail of your driving? Exceptionally, right? The blinker's going on 50 feet before I make the turn, right? I'm making the hands are in the right position. I check 15 times before I change lanes. Until, like, give it a couple of weeks, then you're back to normal. The way it works in life is,
Over time, when something is new, you're very attentive. As it becomes more regular, you become less attentive. Says Rav Kashtiel something absolutely amazing. What happened to Reuven? What happened to the person who killed B'shogeg? What happened to him? What happened to him? What happened? He just kind of fell into the rhythm of life. Maybe he chops wood each and every day. So this is what I do. When he began to chop wood, do you think he looked to see that the axe head was fastened to the handle? Probably. Did he look to see if people were anywhere around? Probably. Just like you kept your hands on the wheel and checked every single blind spot and didn't review on your mirror, on your backup camera when you were backing up either. But then what happens over time? You become habituated to things and you become less aware, less vigilant. Bivli das. What was Reuven's mistake in this case? What was Reuven, the tree chopper's mistake? Is Reuven a good guy? Yeah, every person's a good person. It's not that he did a bad thing. He just acted bivli das. He stopped thinking in life. He just went with the rhythm. He just went with the regilos. He went with that which was regular day in and day out and stopped paying attention. So what's his punishment? Galos. Why? Everyone knows this. Why Galos? So suddenly he's transported to a new city. What's going to happen the first day he wakes up in this new city? He's going to be attentive. Why? Because it's new. Because he doesn't know this city. He doesn't know where the shul is. He doesn't know where the base match is. He doesn't know where the supermarket is. He doesn't know the people. He doesn't know his way around. So suddenly again, he is snapped back into attentive daily living. Reuven's challenge, Reuven's problem, the reason why he got himself into this mess is because he stopped being attentive about how he lives his day-to-day life. Bivli das is not just a legal definition that this was not a premeditated act of bloodshed. Bivli das is a life situation. Reuven, you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. You're not attentive to what it is that you are doing. And therefore, what do? You go to Galus to snap him back into attentiveness. Because successful living is all about daily attentiveness to your life details. If you want to be successful in life, you have to be attentive to every last detail. The moment you fall asleep at the wheel, the moment you fall asleep in the forest, is the moment that negative things occur. So now I begin to see something amazing. The Remes to Chodesh Elul teaches us what? What is Elul about? What is Elul about? Elul is about creating an awareness. You see, I would venture to say that a lot of times our greatest challenge are not the averos we commit. Why do I say that averos are not the greatest challenge? It sounds like a strange thing to say, right? Why? Why are averos not the greatest challenge? Because I know they're wrong. I know what I do wrong. I know what I do wrong, and I know that it's wrong, and I know that I have to fix it. That's pretty clear. My greater challenge is falling into a lapse of awareness, living a life of bivli das, when I'm just not aware of my surroundings. Because again, I'm not committing any averos, I'm not doing anything wrong. But what happens when you live a life of bivli das? There are two things that happen. What happens when you live a life where you lack day-to-day awareness, bivli das? Two things. Number one, what happens? I'm sorry? So negative things happen. That's the example over here, right? When you're not aware, you could ultimately go ahead and create negativity all around you. Good. Excellent. What else happens if you're not aware? What do you lose out on? Kavana and incredible life opportunities. There are incredible opportunities all around us in life. But if you're in a trance, right? If you've fallen into a rhythm and you ever drive like a long distance, and you wonder, like, wow, like I ever drive back from New York or from New Jersey, and you say, I can't believe I'm in Maryland already, right? Now, it's a scary thing when that happens. Why? Because what does that mean? I didn't fall asleep,
But obviously, like, I totally zoned out. I zoned out for like the last hour, and I'm not much like, I feel like I'm being like, Yaakovin, right? Kfitza Saderach. There was no Kfitza Saderach. I just wasn't paying attention for the last hour. Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure nothing occurred. But at the end of the day, I zoned out. That happens to us all the time, not just in your drive from New York to Maryland, but it happens to people in life, and not just for an hour, for a year, for 10 years, for decades, where people just fall into their rhythms. I just fall into my rhythms of day-to-day life, repeat, 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 repeat. And then one day, either something negative happens because I wasn't attentive, or sometimes nothing negative happens. But I wake up one day and I realize, oh my gosh, I've been unaware for the last number of hours, days, weeks, months, years. You fill in the blank. What's the avodah of Chodesh Elul? Elul is the Ir Miklat. You see, in Yiddishkeit, we do not believe in punitive damages. Excuse me, in punitive punishments. In Judaism, punishments are always rehabilitative, right? To go when you punish someone is to do what? To rehabilitate the person, to make them better. Now, sometimes there is no rehabilitation in this world, therefore there's a death penalty. Someone kills someone else. So sometimes there's nothing you can do to rehabilitate that person except Misa, death itself, atones. Which is why, by the way, I think I mentioned this. In Judaism, what function do we not have in the punishment code? What do we not have in Judaism?
Torture.
Torture, that's, we don't have torture. What else?
Prison.
Prison. We have no prison. Isn't that interesting? There's no concept of prison in the Jewish penal code. No such thing. The only time we find a prison is where? Right? So we have a holding cell. There's a holding cell, right? So the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the Mekalel, there were people who Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do with. So he said, Vayanichu b'mishmar, kilo porash maya asalo. They put him in a holding cell until HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say what to do with it. So we have a holding cell if you don't know what to do with a person. But there's ultimately, again, or by some other halal, by some other penalties, there's a holding cell as well to hold a person for certain things. We see that by Sotha, other situations like that. But in general, there's no concept of prison because we believe in rehabilitative punishment. So when we send Reuven, the person who killed Shimon b'Shogeg, to an Ir Miklat, are we giving him a patch? It's not punitive. What are we saying to Reuven? Reuven, you fell asleep at the wheel. Bivli das. You're no longer thinking about life. You're just going through the motions. You're like on cruise control. Cruise control. Just keep going, keep moving, and you're not paying attention. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to uproot your life in totality. We're going to uproot your life in totality. We're going to put you in a totally new place with totally new people in a totally different address. And your kids are going to have to come with you, and your wife has to come with you, and your rabbi has to come with you. And there's a whole entourage. And then what happens? How are you going to feel? How are you going to feel? Disoriented. And because you're disoriented, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to pay attention to every last detail of your surroundings, to every last detail of the city, to every last detail of your day-to-day life. That is the punishment of Galus. Yes?
If he becomes like unaware and just falls into the trap again,
does he have to? Right, so no. No, until he goes to, obviously, you know, what we're talking about over here is the hashkafa of the punishment. But no, you're saying, good, it could very well be that Reuven will fall into the same trance in this new Ir Miklat city as well. But chances are, he always knows this is the Ir Miklat. Remember, again, you only stay until the Ir Miklat until when? Until the Kohen Gadol dies, right? So chances are, he recognizes that he's being placed somewhere else. I would also imagine that after Reuven took a life, albeit b'shogeg, I would hope that that type of event fundamentally changes you forever. I mean, the event is tragic, but hopefully the change is cathartic and good. So now if we bring this together, we begin to see that what? This is the essence of Chodesh Elul. Elul is our Ir Miklat. Elul is the opportunity to take a step back and say, you know what? I know I've been doing things a certain way for a certain amount of time. Is it correct? Or does it need to be changed? Does it need to be addressed? Sometimes I feel like I've just fallen into the cruise control of life, and I'm just kind of moving along, trudging along.
Do I need to think about the direction I'm going in, the life I'm leading, the person I have become? Elul is the Ur Miklat. Because so many of us fall into the trap of Bivli Das, without any kind of thought. Elul is our Ur Miklat. And lastly, with this, I should finish up. Lastly, with this, we'll stop. Number four, I for some reason it got cut off on the sheet, but you'll see number four is back on. Is back on number fourth approach is source number five on your sheet. So go back to the first page. This was Megillas Esther. And Megillas Esther was, Remez was, Ish the Re'ehu Umatonos Le'Aviyomim. Right? Remez to Elul, literally again, Mishloach Manos, and Matonos Le'Aviyomim. So here, already again, we have a little bit of a simpler message. What's the message here? What's the message? Why is Chodesh Elul embedded in this phrase? What's the message? Right. The message is that very often we kind of, over this month, Chodesh Elul, and even Yamim Noraim, place an incredible emphasis on Bin Adam L'Makom. But I want to tell you something incredible about Bin Adam L'Makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have mechanisms to take care of Bin Adam L'Makom. The greatest mechanism that remedies most things Bin Adam L'Makom is what? Tshuva, even if I don't do tshuva. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur itself has, this is not a topic for today, but Yom Kippur itself has this profound absolution component, this profound forgiveness component, that even if I don't do tshuva, Yom Kippur has the ability to remedy certain averos. But one thing Yom Kippur cannot take care of is what? Bein Adam L'Chavero. That's why the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Hei, the beginning of Hilchos Yom Kippurim, says, Tzarich Adam Lefayes Es Chavero Erev Yom Kippurim. You have to make amends with your fellow on Yom Kippur. On Erev Yom Kippur. Before Yom Kippur. Before Day of Judgment. Right? Before the Day of Slicha Vechapara. Yom Kippur could take care of a lot of things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ignore and overlook many things. But when it comes to your being Adam Lechavero, that is up to you and you alone. So on one level, again, Ishtriya Matran Sevelim teaches us the focus of these days cannot simply be on Bein Adam L'Makom between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather these days we must also actively work on our Bein Adam L'Chavero. But there's another component, right? So we have to, again, if we have frayed relationships, work on them. If we've offended people, apologize. If I've wronged people, own it and make amends. This is the month. These are the days. Chodesh Elul is not just about repairing and bolstering our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's about repairing and bolstering our relationship with one another as well. But there's another piece. What else does working on your Bein Adam L'Chavero do? What else does it do for you? When you, in general, when you work on your interpersonal relationships and you work at being a better person to your fellow human being, what does that do for you? I'm sorry? Helps Bein Adam L'Makom. Why? Because you're improving, good. But why? What is it? You're absolutely right. When you work on your Bein Adam L'Chavero, it makes you better in your Bein Adam L'Makom. Why? I'm sorry? So first of all, it could be your Atan Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like Moshe provides for others, you're providing as well. Excellent, beautiful. What else? You're doing what he wants. Excellent. What else? But why? Correct, why? You're thinking too hard about this, right? It's simpler. When you go out of your way for someone else, you are becoming a selfless individual. The greatest challenge that we have as human beings is man is naturally selfish. This is very important. Man is naturally, we are all naturally selfish. We are all naturally egocentric. That is the way we are. By the way, the proof to this, the strongest instinct that a person has is? Strongest instinct. Self-preservation. Self-preservation. That is the strongest instinct. Me. Ha'olam nivra bishvili. We often misinterpret that. This is very important because we don't like to admit this. We are naturally selfish. People are naturally selfish and egocentric. The avoda is to transcend the self. The avoda of a human being is
to go from being selfish to being selfless. That is the avoda of a person. How? Now, by the way, selflessness is a prerequisite not just to be adam l'chaviro, but be adam l'makom as well. A selfish person doesn't want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why not? Why not? Because I want to do stuff for me. I don't want to serve God. I'd like to serve me. I'd like to take care of me. I'd like to do things that benefit me. When a person works on their being adam l'chaviro, and they give to another person, they are transforming themselves into a selfless being. When you transform yourself into a selfless being, not only are you making yourself better vis-a-vis the other, but you're making yourself better vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the moment you learn that midah of selflessness, transform yourself from selfish to selfless, is the moment not that I become better in my interpersonal relationships, but I become a better Jew in my being Adam L'Chavero as well. So it's a, yes. The answer is yes. We're all of them. Yeah, we are a challenge of contradictions. Each of us, I am inherently good. I'm also inherently selfish. I'm also inherently egocentric. I'm also inherently lazy. These are all the things I possess. Life is all about realizing all this stuff is in your toolbox. All of this stuff is there. What are you going to choose to build on? That's the fundamental issue. So if we bring this all together, with this we'll stop. And we see again that we see four different components in Elul. Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li teaches us proactive divine engagement. The rest of the year is Dodi Li V'Ani Lo. Elul is the time where you have to take the first step to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not just to examine what you're doing, but to examine how you're doing it. Number two, Es Lavavcha V'Es Lavav Zarecha. Even though it's a month of proactive divine engagement, you don't have to do it yourself. What do you just have to do? The only thing you have to do yourself is? First step, start. Remember again, the exact opposite of the way we learn to walk. We learn to walk by holding on to fingers, and then ultimately, again, our parents let go. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, take the first step, and then I'll hold on. Number three, Ir Miklat Elokim Ina Liyado V'Samti Lecha. Elul is the Miklat. The great challenge of life is living how? Two words? Bivli Das, without intent, without concentration. We get into all kinds of trouble when you put your life on cruise control. Elul is the opportunity to shake off the dust. Hisnari me afar kumi. Right? It's an opportunity to go to the Ir Miklat and to once again wake myself up and to ask myself, what am I doing? How am I doing? And finally, number four, Ishtereyom Atanos Levyonim. Elul is the month where we work on our Ben Adam Lechaveiro. Number one, because it's good to be good to others. But also when you're good to others, you develop in yourself the midah of selflessness. And the more selfless you are, the better you are not just to your fellow person, but the better you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. All right, we'll stop over here.